This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
Welcome back. We are really looking forward to our next guest, who will be Elaine Wolfe. Listen to this from her jacket cover of her new novel, Camp, she being the person who has this deserved reputation as being the novelist who writes about bullying and brings that important issue to the fore. Elaine Wolfe now very much is a grown-up. She was a camper and camp counselor for many summers. Like her main character, she is the daughter of a German immigrant and award-winning writer. Ms. Wolfe served as a middle school and high school reading language arts specialist, a district language art chairperson, and a writing workshop facilitator. Her new novel is Camp. Every secret has a price. We're going to talk about bullying. We'll be right back.
Get in on the conversation. Call 413-586-7140. This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
Welcome back. Monty and I are joined in the studio by Elaine Wolfe, who has served as a middle school and high school reading and language arts specialist, and she is an award-winning writer. Her new novel is called Camp. That's the title. She has a second novel, too, that will be published in the fall as well. Elaine Wolfe, this is a book that has received a lot of notice here in the Valley. It's a story about bullying. Why did you want to write this book? Why did you want to tell this story?
Well, you know, Bill, I didn't actually start out writing about bullying. I started by writing a story about a young girl who goes to summer camp, a teenager who goes to summer camp. But I found in writing a story about that, it was impossible not to write about bullying. And interestingly enough, the same thing is true for my other book, Danny's Mom, which is coming out in November. Danny's Mom takes place in a school. Again, I didn't start by writing a story about bullying. That wasn't what was in my head. But because my novels show what goes on in camps and schools, it's impossible not to write about bullying.
This is a question that novelists always look at me, roll their eyes, and say, I can't believe you're asking me this, but I can't avoid it, so I just stuck on it. How much of this book is autobiographical, if any?
Absolutely none. There's nothing that's autobiographical in the story. However, as all novelists do, I draw from my own experiences. And so I am the daughter of a German immigrant. There's a German immigrant mother in the story. And my uncle did own a summer camp in Maine. And so that comes up in the story.
You also had a lot of experience working with high school students, yes?
Yes, I did.
Does that play into what is part of the story in your novel, Camp?
It gives me a sense of how kids behave, how they think, what's important to them, how they act towards others. So yes, I would say it gives me the voices, and that's really important.
Now, Elaine Wolfe, in writing Camp, which has as its subtitle, Every Secret Has a Price, did you know the story when you began to write it, or did it grow organically as you wrote? In other words, did you know the beginning, the middle, and the end, more or less, or did you just start to write?
Absolutely not. I didn't know any of that. I knew that I wanted a story about a teenager who was sent to summer camp, and obviously there'd be problems or there'd be no story. So I started with a character and a problem, and I let the story grow from there.
You went to summer camp. You says so right here on the book jacket, right?
Yes, I did.
Did you like summer camp?
I loved summer camp, Bill. I lived for summer camp. Those were the happiest days of my life.
See, this should have been my book. I hated summer camp. They were not the happiest days of my life.
I'll tell you something, though, Bill. I put the word out when this book was being published to a group on Facebook, a group of other women now my age who attended the same camp I did. And I was very clear in the message that I put out on Facebook that this never could have happened at our wonderful camp. And sure enough, I heard back from a camper who said, you bet this happened at our camp. I was just very lucky I wasn't aware of it.
There is this phrase in part of the promotional material for your new novel, Camp. It says, fighting bullying one novel at a time. Is there a message here that is prominent in the story itself, Elaine Wolfe, or is this something that just is naturally comes from the story itself?
I think, Bill, it naturally comes from the story. As I said, I didn't start out to write an anti-bullying novel. But I really hope that both Camp and my other novel will be springboards to discussions about bullying.
What age is this novel, your novel Camp, intended for? Is it young adults or is it for adults?
It's marketed as a young adult book. However, it has tremendous appeal to the adult community. So really, it's what we call a crossover from grades 8 all the way up, I say from ages 14 to 84.
Elaine Wolf, would you read us a piece from Camp?
With pleasure.
Does it need any setup, or does it will explain itself what you're about to read us?
Well, I'm going to read the very beginning of the book, so let's do this without a setup, Bill. So the first chapter is entitled, I Hate Her. When I was 14, not quite 4 years ago, I'd lie awake at night and pray my mother would die. If I had known her secret, I might not have hated her. But my parents didn't tell me about the ghost that slipped into the hospital the day I was born. It crept across my umbilical cord, linking me to my mother's past. Then it wedged right between us. My father said doctors couldn't explain the purple blotches on my chest. But now I'm sure of this. That phantom punched me hard. And though the black and blues faded before I could crawl, the ghost kept pushing my mother from me, flexing its muscles, bulking up. So by the time my parents sent me to sleepaway camp, that ghost was larger than I was. I just hadn't seen it yet. Dad sprang the news about camp on us in the fall when I was in 9th grade. I heard from my brother today, he announced at dinner, as my mother carried a plate of lamb chops to the kitchen table. The smell of meat thick in the air. Ed closed the deal on that girls' camp he's been looking at. My mother's hand shook on hearing Ed's name. Back then, in 1962, I couldn't have guessed the real reason my uncle rattled her, though I would find out in time.
Since you've written this, Elaine Wolf, this from your new novel, Camp, have you begun to hear from any number of people about their camp stories?
Not so much camp stories, Bill, because the novel is just out now. It was just released, so I don't have a huge number of people who have seen it. But the reviews to date have been really stellar, and reviewers are saying, yes, this really rings true. Yes, there is verisimilitude. This really could happen. And I certainly hope that people will contact me, share their camp stories. I welcome that, and I invite my readers to do that.
We should mention that Elaine Wolf will be reading from her new novel, presenting her new novel, having questions and answer period and a discussion, as well as signing her new novel, Camp, Every Secret Has a Price. That will be Tuesday, June 5th at 7 o'clock at the Broadside here in Northampton. That's June 5th, Tuesday, next Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the Broadside. Elaine Wolf presenting her new novel, Camp. Did the structure of the novel itself come from anything that you had planned or that was part of your life? Or again, was that just something that developed as you wrote?
It actually developed as I wrote. Camp started as an adult novel, actually, and it was going to be a novel in two voices, a mother-daughter story, and I was going back and forth between a mother's voice and a daughter's voice. But it was the younger voice that kept coming through to me, the younger voice I couldn't stop thinking about, the younger character in the book, the teenager, who just haunted my dreams. So I did a revision after I did a first draft and decided it would really work better as a young adult novel.
You have a feel for writing. You also have this amazing story about writing, which is you have two novels, first and second novel, coming out one after the other, two terrific reviews. How long have you been writing, and how did this great good fortune evolve?
Well, when I tell anybody about how this evolved for me, the first thing anybody says is, Elaine, timing is everything, and that's true. I wrote both Camp and Danny's Mom 10 years ago. I wrote Danny's Mom 12 years ago, Camp 10 years ago. I was very lucky. Both my books attracted the attention of great New York literary agents, great New York editors. But on submission, the editors who would read Camp, that was the first one that we tried to get out. The editors who read Camp said, wow, this is a great story, love the characters, love the story, love the writing, But who would want to read about a kid being bullied? It's just not a big enough story. So then my agent tried my other book, and the same thing happened. It was only a year and a half ago, with bullying in the news constantly and on our radar screen and part of our national dialogue, that my agent decided to resubmit both books, and they both sold instantly.
I was moved by one of the blurbs on your book, which is from a psychologist, psychotherapist, who said, "The characters in Camp are so real, I feel very drawn to Amy and her experience of life, which brought me back to my own camp days and to the insecurity and vulnerability of adolescence. I was tearful by the end." How do you draw characters that do that to readers?
You know, I don't have a great answer for that, Bill. I think it either happens or it doesn't. As a writer, I think we have to just get out of our own way and sort of let that part of our brain that's generally subconscious just come through. And it happens organically, and it happens with lots and lots of work and lots of rewrites.
We've been speaking with Elaine Wolf, who presents her new novel, Camp, at the Broadside next Tuesday, June 5th. Next Tuesday, June 5th at 7 o'clock, Elaine Wolf, her new novel is Camp, a reading, a signing, a discussion on bullying. We'll be joined right after the break by her son-in-law, Rabbi Justin David, and his colleague in crime here in The Reverend and the Rabbi, the Reverend, well, the Reverend. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
At Orchard Hill Farm Equipment and Trailer Sales, your land is their territory. Located on Route 9 in Belchertown, Orchard Hill is the largest tractor and trailer dealer in the valley. Orchard Hill carries names like Mahindra and Coyote Tractors, Yanmar Construction Equipment, and Woods Equipment and Exmark Commercial Mowers. You'll find everything you need to get the job done and a family business that will stand behind the products they sell. So what are you waiting for? Find exactly what you want at Orchard Hill Farm Equipment on Route 9 in Belchertown, on the web at orchardhillsales.com.
The types of grapes used to make wine are only one of the factors in the taste. The rest of the flavor lies in the ambiance and the friends you share the experience with. Make plans to see old friends and make new ones at the Loft Restaurant and Lounge at the Clarion Hotel and Conference Center, Route 5 in Northampton. The Loft menu comes from locally produced ingredients and is a one-of-a-kind dining experience. Signature entrees like chicken marsala, tenderloin tips with wild mushroom risotto, or crazy Alfredo, a sausage and chicken penne that turns up the heat. The Loft. For something lighter or to meet up with friends for a drink, it's the Loft Lounge, the perfect place to unwind and soak in all that's Northampton. And don't forget that glass of wine. The Loft has one of the largest wine selections around. Breakfast, dinner, weddings, events, or just a quiet evening with friends. The Loft Restaurant and Lounge, Route 5, Northampton.
It's 2 a.m. You're driving past Cooley Dickinson Hospital. You notice a strobe light coming from a window. It's not a disco party. It's an ultraviolet light blasting robot that's killing germs. The ultraviolet light cleaning system destroys C. difficile, a nasty bug that is hard even for bleach to kill. According to the Centers for Disease Control, C. diff is at historically high levels in healthcare facilities across the country. Not so at Cooley Dickinson. That's because Cooley Dickinson was the first hospital in the Northeast to use ultraviolet light cleaning to eliminate infections. Using UV light kills 99.99% of all germs. The robots helped Cooley Dickinson cut C. diff in half. That's good news for patients, because C. diff can cause severe diarrhea, even death. Even CNN was impressed. Check it out on CNNmoney.com. And the next time you see light flashing in a window at Cooley Dickinson, don't think party. Think your hospital, stopping germs in their tracks.
For a baby in need living in our community, a $250 donation will pay for 9 months of nutritious food through Tapestry Health's WIC program. $60 will pay for a 3-month supply of birth control pills. Tapestry Health provides vital health services that make our community better. Tapestry Health is a nonprofit that depends on your financial support. I'm Bill Newman, asking you to join me in supporting the important work of Tapestry Health. Click on the donate link at tapestryhealth.org or look for Tapestry Health's annual fund drive in your mailbox.
Get in on the conversation. Call 413-586-7140. This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
Welcome back. This is our regular Thursday Reverend and the Rabbi segment with Rabbi Justin David, Reverend Peter Ives. We are following up our discussion with Elaine Wolfe, the author of Camp, who will be presenting her new novel at the Broadside on Tuesday, June 5th at 7 o'clock. She's known as the novelist who's writing about bullying, a topic which this title just grabbed me, in part because I went to one of these sleepaway camps. I remember coming home and trying to tell my parents that the counselor would come in to the bunk in the dead of night, make us get up, hold pillows out to our sides until we couldn't hold them up anymore, and then hit us with a stick when we in our stomachs when we couldn't hold the pillows up anymore. And nobody believed me. None of my friends, or all of whom told their parents, or most of them anyway, no parent believed us that this was happening. To this day, I'll never forget that. Rabbi Justin David, you have a camp story you want to share with us?
Well, not exactly. I'm just sorry for your camp story.
Yeah, I'm sorry for my camp story, too.
That sounds awful, but no, I wanted to share my reaction to Elaine's book.
Full disclosure, it's your mother-in-law,
right,
so this
Elaine
better
is my
be a good review.
I have to say, it's the book is absolutely addictive, but it struck me actually as a rabbi, because the story is also about the silence of survivors in the second generation. And there's a kind of pall of silence and secrecy that hangs over the entire book and actually feeds the narrative very much, and rings very true with people that I've met and stories that I've heard over the years.
Did it affect you personally in a way that did it speak to you more than as just a novel?
Oh yes, yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, you know, what's fiction and what's nonfiction? You know, fiction is, I think, represents the human soul and human experience in a different way, but it rings with a lot of truth and integrity and power, because through the novel, I think Elaine is able to give expression to an experience that many people I know have had.
Were you ever consulted on the book as to the verisimilitude of various characters or
no,
scenes?
Not at all. And I would have had nothing to add.
Oh. the great ingratiating sounds that you hear are from the Rabbi Justin David. So, Reverend Peter Ives, your comment on this?
Taught sailing in a summer camp in Cape Cod for 4 years. So I know what summer camps are like, and there is a lot of bullying in these summer camps. But I want to tell my own story, Bill. I do a lot of public speaking, as you know, but when I was in primary school and secondary school, I had a very bad stutter. I couldn't do an oral book report. I couldn't stand up in front of a class and speak, because I stuttered so badly, and I couldn't overcome my stutter. And during these episodes, I myself was bullied by comments that people said about someone who has a bad stutter. And so I know from my own experience what it's like to be bullied for something like a stutter. It's an irony that all that I've done in the last 20 years in Northampton is public speaking in major forums. But I started with a bad stutter.
I think it's interesting from your perspective, and from Bill's perspective, talking about the bullying that you experienced earlier on, and the fact that this book, Camp, was about bullying and was pitched 10 years ago, but nobody wanted to pick up on it. But now we're in an era where bullying is being talked about very regularly, including on the radio right now. Are you, as religious folk, finding that people are coming to you more now for counseling and looking for help now in a way that they weren't before this was a topic that people felt more comfortable talking about publicly?
I would say that people come to me for counseling more, but from the perspective of being a community leader and having programs where we engage a lot of parents and kids, the notion of bullying and the dynamics that are involved in that is something that's really on our radar, not only how it affects kids, but in the ways that people interact with each other, because as religious communities, we want to create an atmosphere of mutual respect. And obviously, you know, these are human behaviors, and we're all susceptible to them, so we want to try and avoid them and call them out when we see them.
So let me ask this of Rabbi Justin David or Reverend Peter Ives. Is this bullying, is the extent of bullying in any way new, or is it just public consciousness about it and for a change, we as a society are saying bullying is unacceptable? Is there a change in how people are and how kids are and adults are acting, or is there simply a change in how we're responding to this phenomenon?
Well, Bill, I think we're much more sensitive to it, and there's been much more publicity around it. But it's old as my playground in school 50 years ago. I remember a young boy in Boy Scouts who was accused of being a fairy and really badly beaten up because he was accused of being a fairy. Now, that goes back 50 years ago, and I think we all remember that there was bullying. It is receiving much more publicity, and we're acting on it, I think, more quickly today.
I think we'll leave it there. We really appreciate the Reverend and the Rabbi being with us again, our usual Thursday segment, the Reverend and the Rabbi with Rabbi Justin David, the Reverend Peter Ives. We thank Elaine Wolf, author of Camp, whose website is authorelainewolf.com, all one word, authorelainewolf.com. And she will be reading at the Broadside, as we mentioned, next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock, the Broadside here in Northampton. That will do it for our show for today. Tomorrow we will have on Carol Johnson and Rita Blyman. They will be talking about why the Pleasant Street Theater died, among other things. We think that will be an interesting show, and we hope you will join us for it. I'm Bill Newman. For Monty Belmonte and myself, we thank you very much for spending some of your day with us, and we hope you'll be back with us here again tomorrow. See you then.